welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I've been spending some time the last couple of weeks in the book of Romans, and the Holy Spirit has been revealing some things to me, specific things. And I really felt that I need to share some of those things with you this morning, and I believe this afternoon's session will tie in a bit with it as well. So I want to start off by reading a portion of Scripture out of Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's quite a lengthy portion of Scripture. And today I want us to focus on this portion as that is what God has been highlighting to me to share. And just in the title of this portion of Scripture, Marks of the True Christian, there's two things that have been standing out for me. And the first thing is marks. Immediately, this leads us to the conclusion that us as Christians, we have received a mark, we have received a seal that we are Christians, that we are God's children, that we are His sons, His daughters. And there are many scriptures to back this up. But then, Paul continues with the heading of the scripture, marks of a true Christian, which also led me to say that, but then there must be a thing as a false Christian, if he has to highlight by saying a true Christian, or to be a true Christian, there are these things which you just read, which needs to be evident, and there needs to be fruit thereof in your life. So I want us this morning to look a bit at it. What is this mark? What is this seal? And how do you live a life as a true Christian and not as a false one? If you look at the word mark, to be marked is the same as being sealed. It is being elevated. It is a sense. It is an identity. It is a guarantee. If a king in the olden days used to write a letter, he put a seal on the back of the letter proving that this is from him. It gives authenticity. It gives an identity to that letter, which only that king can give with his stamp. And they melt the wax and they seal the letter with it. The same God did with us as His children is He placed a seal upon us as a guarantee, as a promise, as an identity. But what is the seal? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 to 22. For all the promises of God find the yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. And who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Romans 8. For all we who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our assurance of salvation is this mark. is the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us. So if someone has to ask you, how can you be sure that you are a Christian? How can you be sure? There are so many arguments or debates going around and scriptures being flung around saying, how can I be sure to enter into the kingdom of heaven one day? Well, the answer is simple. You need to be a Christian. But how are you a Christian? We all know the scripture out when Jesus says, you know, you have done all these great things, but depart from me, you practice lawlessness. So we need to have a relationship with Jesus, which I believe is impossible to have without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit being our assurance of salvation, our seal, our mark, our guarantee, it is through that mark we know that we are Christians, through the Spirit that God has poured out on us. And we can very practically just think on the same term as if we have to think of a pair of Levi jeans. You only know it's a real pair of Levi jeans when it has that little tag, that red tag thing on it. And we all know that there are knockoffs which looks differently to the real thing. And I think we can compare it the same as to a Christian, to a true Christian. Yes, we pay much more. It's a higher price to pay for the authentic, original Levi jean. But it is of a higher quality. It is only made at a certain place. And it is a knockoff for a reason, because I'm sure it will be made in China or something. Not that there's anything wrong with China. But today I want us to, again, turn the focus a bit more to the Holy Spirit. And just praise God, the Holy Spirit's already been moving in worship and through the words you guys came and shared. Thanks for those. And how God wants us to turn our attention on Him once again as He is standing with His arms wide open, saying that, you know, I approve of you, my son, my daughter. He is my seal of approval, of identity on you, which I've placed on you. And with that, we have such a power. We have such a knowledge, a deep security we have in Christ as His sons, as His daughters. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Yeah, Paul speaks about the three spiritual blessings God has given us, which is redemption, adoption, and inheritance. And this third blessing, inheritance, is the seal we have received, is the Holy Spirit. Because if we have to look at the word seal, if we have to look at the word inheritance, it's related to the word translated chosen. So we are chosen by God, hence He has put His seal of the Holy Spirit on us as His sons, as His daughters. And the seal at least portrays the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a deposit, guaranteeing that inheritance which we will receive. And what is the inheritance? It is a complete possession of God one day. So at the very least, we can think of the seal as His promise, as a deposit God has given us, saying, here's your seal, here's your token. One day you're going to cash this in to get your full inheritance. But without that, we cannot have claim on that. And have we received this on our own merit, our own good deeds? No, it is through God's grace we have received salvation, redemption, adoption as sons and daughters, but also this inheritance. God has given it freely, but I feel that sometimes, I don't know, maybe you have received a gift from a person, and in your eyes it might have looked mundane or small or weird. Let's make it an old coin. But without you knowing it, that can be one very rare coin, and there's only one made in the world, and that's worth millions. But out of your lack of knowledge of what this gift really is, you cannot claim the full value thereof. And I believe God just wants to highlight again what it means that He has chosen us. I believe God wants to open our eyes again to see what the Holy Spirit really means and gives to us daily, so that one day when we stand before Christ, that we can make a full claim on our inheritance, which He has given to us freely. However, the Holy Spirit implies far more than just a guarantee. We really need the Holy Spirit in our daily lives to overcome, to fulfill the spiritual requirements, in a sense, God has placed before us to walk in the gifts, to walk in a Christian lifestyle through the Spirit. So more than just being a deposit or guarantee, it's a necessity for us as Christians. And there are many debates going around the value of the Holy Spirit, and even many Christians not even believing in being filled with the Holy Spirit. But for me, it is the most crucial thing we have as a Christian, seeing that it's the Holy Spirit that has been poured out on this earth. So we need the Holy Spirit to link us up with Christ. I want us to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it's written, with what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the only adequate guide to the wisdom of our Father. For the Spirit is able to understand all the aspects of the wise plans of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us God's deepest secrets, the thoughts, the intents of His heart, of His will. And we can only say when we know a friend well, or we're in a relationship with a person, we know the person's heart, the intents, the wills they have, the plans they have. And the same is with God. It's the Holy Spirit, which is the only adequate guide, which can lead us to the fullness of who Christ is. Will we receive that fullness on earth? I believe not. As Scripture says, we were only made perfect on the day of Jesus' second coming. But having said that, I believe God wants us to search His heart and know Him so intimately, so that when someone speaks that looks totally different out of our perception of how a pastor or a Christian should be, we can pick up Christ in that person. We can pick up Christ in this word, in this Spirit, by knowing Him intimately through that which the Holy Spirit has revealed to us and made known to us. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the importance or validity of Christian wisdom, because it's spiritually discerned. But saying this, having the Holy Spirit does not even necessarily ensure that we have growth, spiritual growth, knowledge, wisdom, because having received the Holy Spirit, there is a responsibility on us aligning and placing ourselves in a place. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, when he wrote this letter, he said that in four verses later, he says, but you know, you are still eating, you know, you're still drinking milk. You're not at the solid food. You're still infants in the faith, because they are still quarreling. They are still fighting amongst one another. They are still in this worldly value system. So they cannot have the spiritual growth which the Holy Spirit wants to bring in their lives, because their lives are not aligned in order to receive it and to walk in the fullness of it. So with receiving the Holy Spirit, we need to live lives set apart. And I believe, as God has started doing now, every decision we make, every day we live, you know, the world is trying to suck us back in, to conform back to its standards, to its value systems. And with every decision we make that goes against what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do, it just, in a sense, it sucks the life out of us. Because we are no longer set apart for the working of Christ, so we can no longer grow and ensure that we mature in spiritual discernment, in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual values.
because our lives are not aligned in a place to receive. And I believe God wants to, again, breathe His life into us again, where our bones have become dry again, in a sense. He wants to breathe His Word, His Spirit into us again, so that we can walk in that fullness, but not only in that, that we can truly be out of in a place and say, God, I want to know your heart. Give me wisdom. Reveal to me your plans, your thoughts, the intents of your heart. Father God, I want to know it. And then to trust the Holy Spirit to help us to live a consecrated life, to receive it and to walk in the fullness of it. John 16, verse 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. With this seal God has placed upon us, He says that whatever I have, I want you to have. I have already given you My most prized, My most beloved. I've given you My Son. So God has already, He's already came 100% all the way towards us. But more than that, He's 100% open every day, every second for us to know Him, to come close to Him, to draw nearer to Him. And He's calling us out, saying that I've placed upon you the seal, I've given you the Holy Spirit, I've marked you as My Son. But now God actually wants us to know Him as His sons and as His daughters, more than what we know our earthly parents. And I know that many of us have varying relationships with them, but to, in a sense, to put that aside and just really understand God's heart behind this, that even though He's already made the door wide open, He wants us to walk in a daily relationship with Him as His sons and His daughters. And that is what I believe this mark, this seal implies and has given us. It has given us His guarantee. But now to come to the second part of what has been just stood out to me is, a true Christian. And I believe the verse we read in the beginning, which we're going to read again, just for me, it's a list of things, of basic things, of a lifestyle which reflect a Christian lifestyle. Let's veer away from a true Christian. Let's only say you're a Christian if you're a Christian. To live according to God's standards and His purposes. So let's read Romans 9 again. Marks of the true Christian, let love be genuine. And just that beginning part of the scripture for me, it's the root of everything, is love. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, and do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is Mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, if I read this portion of scripture, yes, it is. It feels like a list of tick lists in a sense, or requirements which we need to live by. But if I have to look at it as a whole, what I take out of it is that if you want to be a Christian, you should never think about yourself. That is what I take about it. If you say, let love be genuine, okay? Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. It's constantly thinking of what does the other person need or think or feel and act on that. And not about your response or how you feel in that moment. And even with do not avenge yourselves. It's not our place to avenge ourselves if we or our families have been persecuted. And I'm sure we feel that, yes, but that's a place where I can really, you know, that's my domain. You took from me, I'm going to take from you. Let's sort it out. But even in that, God says, revenge is mine. So for me, in order to be a Christian, you know what? It's not about us. It's about everyone else. Paul began this discussion in the life of a community of believers as an affirmation of his apostolic authority. And he urges the believers there not to believe in their self-esteem, in their values, in their social system, in their wealth, whatever they have obtained, but in the faith of Jesus Christ. The identity and the function of this body is not determined by the members. You know, the church is not something comprised out of individuals with their own personal needs and issues and problems. The church is just like a body with many members of different body parts. The church is a collaborative congregation of believers. By being a Christian is not a private affair, but links the believer with fellow believers in a larger body in which everyone serves the whole by serving one another. So the church is not a group of people coming together thinking, this is who I am, I need to get fixed now, and everyone with the same mentality. It is actually people coming together and saying, how can I serve you? I'm not whole, I'm not complete, but I lay myself down for you. And you know, if it may sound a bit unfair to us in a sense, because yes, we do have needs, we do need support, we do need love. But is it something that we should walk in and claim for ourselves? I believe not. Jesus, who was King, who was Savior, he came and served every single person that came across his path. I believe he wanted to zap people to death or really give them a stricter talking to, and I'm not really talking about the Pharisees at the moment, but the people he came across, he served every single one of them. He put himself second before all of them, and I believe he truly modeled just the basic necessity for us as a church, for us as Christians, that we should never think about what we want out of the situation, but always think about, what do you want? Why are you here today? Let's pray for you. Let's get someone to give you into this area or this. And also know that this perhaps isn't something we have heard for the first time today. But I can in my own life see how there's just such a gap with this. How I'm not walking in the fullness of this and walking into a place and thinking that somehow, you know, this thing is supposed to be about me right now. And it is such a difficult and constant thing we have to fight daily. That's why we know that we need to be transformed by constant renewing of our minds. And I believe a big part of that is saying that, God, you know what, help me to forget about myself and only open my eyes to the needs of others. How can I serve them? Paul clarifies that the diversity of believers and their ministries can constitute one body only if their lives are controlled by love. The only way we can fulfill this list, this requirements, is by right in the beginning, let love be genuine. Gifts we can give to people, it can be manipulated, it can be devastated by human beings. But I believe there's such an importance that we need to keep our love consecrated, separate. We need to keep it good, we need to keep it away from evil. Because this is for me the key, it's the root of everything. It is the motive behind everything. Jesus came to earth. God sent his son to the earth because he loved us. Jesus is love. And that is why we are here today, is because of the love that God and Jesus had for us. And that is the only motivation we can have in living as a Christian. Love is the esteem and affection believers have for each other as a result of having been saved by God's love. Since all good gifts can be manipulated, we need to keep our love sacred. We need to wake up every day and say, God, I need you to help me love the people around me. Just as the commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. It always comes back to the same things we've been hearing for so many years. But love your neighbor as yourself. But I believe when Jesus came and he even took it a step further, just love your neighbor. Don't worry about yourself. Because the promises of God says, you know what, if you do my will, if you seek my kingdom, that he will add all these things unto you. I've never read or heard God tell me, coming to me, but you know, what about me right now? I've never seen Jesus walking into a place saying all this stuff and saying, but this is what I sort of want to get out of this. His intentions was always, this would really be the best for you to do this, because this will give you eternal life. This will give you your inheritance, your seal of the Holy Spirit. So with God breathing his life, his newness in us again today, I believe that we would all be open to say to God, God, I want you to help me forget about myself today and for the rest of my life. You know what, God, I'm willing to lay down my desires, my heart's desires, my dreams, and even what I want to do this afternoon, I want to lay it down, because I want you to show me how can I serve your body. Because the church, it's not about individuals coming together. It's a collective of members serving one another out of a place of love, brotherly love and affection. From internal congregation relationships, we need to again move to relationships, to secular contemporaries. When people persecute us, we cannot avenge ourselves. So more than us serving one another in our internal church context, when we are out there, when it's not Sunday or when it's not small group, how does our boss treat us? Now that's his problem, the way he treats us. But our problem is, how do we repay him? Do we bless him when he curses us? Or family members or lecturers, in whatever situation we may find ourselves, do we just bless everyone? Or are we like, you know, this guy's really not, he hasn't been good to me, so I'm going to curse him? We should live a lifestyle of just blessing. If someone needs to have wrath poured upon them, you know what, God will do that. And I'm sure God's wrath is much bigger and fierce than what mine is in any case. So if we really want to see a person burn, you know what, God is the one to do it, not us. But our heart should be, you know what, God bless this person. Because we all know what Jesus did after he has been tortured and hung on a cross. He blessed everyone there. He said, God, forgive them. And that is hectic. It is such a mind shift we should make, but more than a mind shift, you know, with us thinking, okay, God, I want to change, and we're not going to change. It is something only through the help of the Holy Spirit we can truly achieve and walk in daily. Jesus hanging on a cross, being beaten to death, having bled out every drop, looking down to these really mean people. Father, forgive them, bless them. I still pray that they will come to the knowledge of who you are, Jesus. I want them to sit around me at my table one day. And I think that's a bit more harsh than what anyone has ever done to us, I believe. I don't know, has anyone ever been crucified in this place today? And if you have, you know what? God expects you to bless the person who did it to you. And the great thing about, you know, the great thing about the Bible for me is, it's not this high theological thing you need to have 15 degrees to figure out and to understand. It is,
it is such basic guidelines for us to follow. When he says Jesus wept, you know what? He wept. When he says Jesus forgave, he forgave. There's no major doctrine or hidden text behind it. So when Jesus says, you know, forgive and bless everyone, he means it. Even though they caused you to die and bleed out on a cross. I want us to just come into a habit of, let's think about the crucifixion a bit more. But not to hold on to what has happened, but to hold on to see how Jesus, how did he handle that situation? And you think, okay, Jesus, I really had a bad day today, but how did I handle the people around me that perhaps did not even have anything to do with this bad day I have, but they're suffering around this? We should really, if people should look at us, it should be blessing and love going out, and people should be able to see that we are Christians, even when they do not see us in a church. And it sounds basic, you know, but the most basic things, it is what I struggle to get right in my life. When the first commandment says, love one another, you should love yourself, I do not get that right. It's the first commandment. I do not get that right. I'm always so hungry, and it's great to be hungry for the deeper and the things of God, and to go into the theological debates. I'm pro that. But I believe let's go into those things when we can get the basics right. So today, let's just look at Jesus again. How did he evaluate, or how did he handle the situation of the cross? He handled it by loving and blessing. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Let's keep our hearts pure, our love pure, to know that God says those who keep their hands clean and have a pure heart, those, they are the ones who will see God. So what the band can come to the front for me. And as they start playing, I want us to actually respond to this word this morning, not just to receive it and to think, okay, God, I will change tomorrow when I'm at work, but let's respond to this. So the first group of people I actually want to pray for today, if you're in this place and you perhaps haven't ever received Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, and you want to receive this seal of salvation, this mark of inheritance, this guarantee to be possessed with God fully one day. If you want to receive that salvation of God having washed away your sins, I want to create an opportunity for you. So everyone can just stand with me this morning. And as you stand, we can all just close our eyes and listen to the music playing. But if you want to respond to Jesus this morning, give your life to him, I want you just to raise your hand so that I can see where you are, if there's anyone like this in this place today. And the second group of people I want to pray for. If you perhaps feel like some decisions or lifestyle or just a thing of not getting it right to love one another, to love yourself, let's ask the Holy Spirit to again breathe his life into us. Let's say, God, we have received this mark to be your son, your daughter, but I want to really live like your son and your daughter. Let's respond this morning and say, Holy Spirit, fill my life again so I can forget about myself and think about everyone around me, just as you did, Jesus. So if there's any one of you like that this morning, why don't you raise your hand so I can see where you are. I'll ask something bold of you. If you've put up your hand this morning, you want to be filled with this Holy Spirit again, for God to help you forget about yourself, but for him to open your eyes to those around you, why don't you come to the front? I would just love to pray for all of you. Thank you.
band continues to minister, you're more than welcome to remain in this atmosphere of worship. And let's remain open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And the people in the front, I just ask you just to huddle up a bit for me on this side, please. We're just going to sing a song again we did earlier, but then after that, if you feel you want to respond to something else, or require any prayer, just come to the front and we would love to pray for you. There are many ushers around the room that will pray for you in any area, for healing, for pain, or for family, for whatever it may be. You're welcome to come, but after that, the service is dismissed. You must have a blessed day. And I trust that God will truly reveal Himself to you more and more just in this rest of the weekend and the week coming, that we may truly walk into the fullness of being filled with His Holy Spirit, because it did not come at a cheap price. So let's honor God by living in the fullness of His Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.